Last summer, the U.S. Justice Department announced that foreigners arriving in the U.S. from four countries, Iran, Iraq, Libya, and Sudan, would be subject to special registration procedures, including fingerprinting, photographing, and interrogation. The list has now been expanded to include more countries, and the special procedures are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to new immigration rules put in place after 9/11. Those rules have affected all kinds of contacts between the U.S. and targeted countries, but cultural and artistic programs have been especially hard hit. Judith Smelzer has this report.
A group of top Iranian musicians entertains an enthusiastic American audience with the unique sounds of Persian classical music. This performance took place in January of 2001, 9 months before the September 11th attacks. And now this kind of experience may become much more rare for American audiences.
I canceled some of my shows in February in the U.S., and I'm not ready to be in the U.S. again and play in the U.S. again.
That's Kehan Kalhor. You can hear him here playing the traditional Iranian kamanche, the ancestor of most modern bowed instruments like the violin. A musical master in Iran, Mr. Kalhor, estimates he's played about 300 concerts in the U.S., but now he's ready to give up his American engagements because the last time he came, he found himself face-to-face with the new registration requirements.
I think there is a certain amount of hostility going on because, first of all, the whole procedure means that you're going to be fingerprinted. So, first of all, you're not welcome to that country. And the way the officers, immigration officers at the border receive you, it's not very pleasant. It's very demeaning and it's very humiliating, and I think it's a little too much for what I went through at the airport.
And it all happened, Mr. Kalhor says, despite the fact that he is now a Canadian citizen and was traveling with his Canadian passport. The new entry procedures are only one part of the beefed-up security measures put in place after September 11th. The requirements for even getting a visa to come to the U.S. are much more cumbersome now. Jonathan Ginsberg is a Washington-area immigration attorney.
Well, if an artist from Iran, or indeed an artist from any of the countries designated for special registration, come to the U.S. or seek to come to the U.S., they are actually initially subject to the same sorts of clearances as artists from a list of approximately 26 countries, but the list itself is classified, and therefore we don't know exactly which countries are on the list or how many there are in total.
People from that classified list of countries must provide additional information when they apply for a visa. That information eventually goes to the so-called U.S. clearing agencies, presumed to be the CIA and FBI. Those agencies run the information through a database that has grown by leaps and bounds since September 11th. And because of this huge new volume of data, along with technology that hasn't caught up to the new demands, that process takes an unknown and usually lengthy amount of time. Another member of this all-star Iranian ensemble was also hampered by the new visa regulations. Hossein Alizadeh is a master of the plucked instrument called the tar. He, too, has played in the U.S. many times and was once a teacher at the California Institute of the Arts. Last fall, he was booked on a 17-city tour, again with this group of musicians. But because of delays with his visa, he missed the first 9 concerts in the series. The problem of getting Iranian artists to the U.S. is not a new one. Ever since the rise of that country's Islamic regime in 1979 and the U.S. hostage crisis there, there have been special considerations and procedures in place. Michael Wilpers is the performing arts programmer for the Smithsonian's Freer and Sackler Galleries, which specialize in Asian art. He says even before September 11th, some of his foreign guests were being fingerprinted before they could obtain a visa. He recalls an incident in 2000 when world-renowned Iranian filmmaker Abbas Kiarostami was scheduled to visit the Smithsonian for a retrospective of his work.
He alerted us in advance that if he was required to be fingerprinted, in Paris on his way here that he would decline to come. And because of that situation, our curator of Near Eastern art intervened directly with the State Department on behalf of Mr. Kiarostami, and through that and other efforts, we're able to arrange to have that requirement waived for him.
It might be harder to get the new fingerprinting requirements waived, and it would almost certainly be more difficult for an organization that doesn't have the Smithsonian's name recognition and government ties. And despite those advantages, Mr. Wilpers says even the Smithsonian has had to cut back on its programming because of the post-9/11 situation.
The intimidation of the new regulations and of this the current climate has caused us to not even extend invitations to a couple of filmmakers, women filmmakers, who we're featuring the work of in our next annual Iranian Film Festival. We only have one filmmaker in mind who has a green card, and that's the only person we would even consider attempting to pursue an invitation.
That's a disappointing development for advocates of artistic exchanges between the U.S. and the Middle East. Concert promoters and tour organizers say they're still committed to bringing foreign artists to America, but they're finding it increasingly difficult to plan around unpredictable visa delays and ever-changing INS regulations. While concerts like this one are unlikely to be a thing of the past, they may well become a lot less common. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.